Welcome to Diving Into Writing with me, Lucinda Pebray, and Marielle Smith. Join us as we dive beyond the surface of our writing practice. Hi, Marielle.
Hey, Lou.
We've had a little bit of a break, haven't we? Not that anyone will notice, but yeah.
But we noticed. And so when you asked me last night, what are we talking about tomorrow? I was like, really good question. Yes. But, you know, when we record every week, it's just easier. I launched a new podcast, another podcast. But so I'm really tired. But you did get a break. So how was it?
It was brilliant. It was lovely. We had a bit of mixed weather. I did some writing. I never achieve as much as I want to achieve because I forget about the other things I want to do when I'm on holiday, like going for nice food and going to the beach for a coffee and looking at the beach. So I didn't get as much done as I kind of had in my fantasy head, but yeah, it was lovely. And what about the new podcast?
That's a really good question. It launched, well, I mean, when this episode comes out, I'm sure. I don't know when this episode comes out. That's really your, that's me. You're more on schedule than I am. But yeah, it was tough getting to the end. There was so much to be done. So I'm extra grateful right now that when you invited me as a co-host for this one, it was already up and running. But yeah, it's a kind of overwhelming, the amount of work that needs to be done to actually set it up.
Tell people about what the podcast is about.
Yeah. Okay. So the new podcast, I do it with Bethany and Tucker, and it's called Doing Diversity in Writing. So what we do on the podcast is we talk, like, I have a background, I have a university background, and I've taught politics of representation for almost a decade in the university. So, and Bethany herself also has a background in diversity issues. Stuff like that. So we started this podcast to talk about how to do diversity better, or how to write diverse characters better without reinforcing and perpetuating like harmful stereotypes and cliches and tropes that we're all really tired of. So I think we're both quite nervous about it because it's not uncontroversial to talk about these things and we do have a very particular opinion, and we know that there are people, and also people who are known who are like activists who don't agree with us. So that's a bit of a thin ice. That's what it feels like sometimes. But yeah, we really felt like we needed to do this. And this is something I've been wanting to do, not in the podcast form, that's all Bethany's idea, but I've been wanting to write a book on this, like a handbook that's for fiction writers that basically goes, okay, so this character has this. So whether that's a different skin color, whether it means that they have a certain neurodivergent issue that they're dealing with, whether they're gay or straight or transgender, whatever it is, diversity, there's a lot to it. That they can just basically pick up the handbook, go through the right chapter, and just have a list of, okay, so this is considered harmful for these reasons. And this is a better way of doing it. So when you write a character like this, please keep into mind this, this, and this.
Even just getting people to think about those issues is important.
Yes. Yeah, and that it took us... So apparently I asked Bethany 13 months ago whether she was willing to write this book with me. And then she was the one who said, how about we do a podcast? And then on the podcast, we do the research for the book, right? Yeah. So we have a conversation as well with people. And but it took us 13 months because a lot of research went into how do we want to present this topic to the audience, especially because in my case, it's a very academic topic. So we had to translate all of that into practical knowledge.
Yeah.
So yeah, the first season is really us trying to break all of that down so that everybody knows where we're coming from and what we're trying to say. And it's going to be in the second season that we're actually going to tackle. I think in the second season, we're going to start with race and gender.
Yeah.
And then take it from there. But yeah, it is, I think it is important because for a lot of people, they don't have to think about this. And we do actually in the first episode, which is out. But like I said, there's going to be a new episode every week. So by the time this one airs, we'll have a few episodes. But in the first episode, we actually talk about the fact that not having to think about this is privilege. So like I said, it's not uncontroversial.
No, but necessary. But yeah, much needed and very brave of you to tackle it.
I think that's part of the reason why it took us so long. Because we really thought when I asked her last year, we really thought by January we'll be starting, and then we just realized it took so much more work. And then, of course, in the meantime, Bethany moved across the US, so that slowed us down as well.
Well,
but let's see.
I can't wait to listen.
No pressure.
Anyhow, what are we talking about today?
We are talking, so last time we talked about how dedicated, you know, people want to be in their writing. So today we want to talk in kind of a very self-reflective way, how dedicated people actually are. Because there's wanting to be dedicated, and then there's being really honest about how dedicated you truly are in your writing.
I feel some hard questions coming on today.
Some nice mirroring and slapping in the face, maybe.
Yes.
So do you, like, how dedicated do you think you are?
I think I'm fairly dedicated. Okay, let's be honest. I think there are things, as we've talked before, there are things that come above my dedication to writing. And sadly, at the moment, there is the day job that has to come up there.
Yeah.
And that's more of a need than a want, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I would like to be more, I'd like my writing to be above that, if I'm totally honest. But because of the money, and I can't do a poor job.
No.
There's too many people relying on me to do a poor job or to just do the minimum. So that's just who I am, and that's how I do it. So my writing does come under that at the moment, and I would... Well, it's only now, just talking to you, as usual, it's like a counselling session, that I realise that I would like my writing above that.
Yeah. But I think this is actually really, what you're saying is really important, because not all jobs are like created equally, right? So I, for example, I used to juggle writing with... So at one point in my life, it was fun. Like I am, people know I am a bit of a workaholic. So I'm quite dedicated, I would say, but not always to the right things, maybe. So at one point I was juggling my university job. I had already started my editing business. I was also trying to write. And then I was also working at a hardware store. Right. So I was teaching at the university and I was working at a hardware store and I was trying to, and I was writing and I was doing my editing, trying to get that off the ground.
Yeah.
But for me, actually, because people were kind of surprised that, and that's a Hayek thing, right? That's like you have your, like, I graduated with honors at the university in my master's, and then there was nothing in me that thought that the hardware job was beneath me, right? I love doing that too. Like, I love helping people. But the good thing about the hardware job is that that didn't take a lot of deep thinking for me.
Yeah.
So when I was not dealing with clients, but just literally, you know, you have trucks coming in with stuff and you put them on the shelves, that gave me so much room to think about my writing or the other projects in my life. So, but for you, your job. So that's one of the reasons I didn't mind that job, right? Because it gave me lots. It was my stability. It was it made, because the university job was not stable, because that was so many hours this semester, so many hours this semester, but the other one was stable. So I knew with this job, at least I'm paying my share of the rent. Like I was living with my ex-partner at the time. So, but for you, you have a job that on the job, you don't get the brain space to think about your plot points or your characters or whatever, I think.
That's true. But it's not just that, it's the demands of the job. So, for instance, I had to do a report for court on the first day of my holiday. And I could have walked away from that, but the impact on both my colleagues who would have had to pick that up and the family who it was about would have been massive. So if I had another job that I might, so like you in the hardware store, I mean, I used to work at a supermarket. The supermarket, you would know your hours, and if people wanted you to do extra hours, you could easily just say no, because it was such a massive store that it wouldn't directly impact on your colleagues or wouldn't feel like that. Yeah, so I think if I truly want my writing to be above my work, I think I would have to change my work.
Yeah, I see that.
I don't think there's a way of containing my work in a little box.
No. And that is because you do care about what you do. It's like you do love what you do, right?
Yeah.
So this is more of the, I once had this coaching client, and she was really complete, like she was just done with writing, basically. Like she was on the verge of just giving up. And then we had a call and so we had this conversation because she was like, the way I'm doing my writing now, I feel like there's the way I should be doing it if I want to quit my day job. And then there's the way I want to be doing it, but I don't think I can quit my day job anytime soon if I just do the way I want to do it. So I basically asked, okay, but what's so bad about your day job? Like, do you need to leave that? Like, do you? And then she was like, oh, I never thought about it like that, because that's like we're supposed to be wanting to leave our day jobs, right?
Yeah.
And of course, the thing's changing. Like I mean, this is still a client of mine. So I also know the day job is currently changing. So perhaps now she would reconsider, like, okay, maybe I do want to change the day job or have the same job at a different institution, for example, right? That's also a possibility. But in that moment, there was no need, because on the job, there was actually plenty of time for her to think about her characters and her writing. So that was a game changer for her, because it basically, I was telling her, if you stop thinking about, I need to quit the day job, that means you can write whatever you want to write.
Yes.
You can pursue your passions.
I mean, now what's going on in my head is, can I make more time elsewhere?
Mm-hmm.
And that might be possible. That if I was just a bit more organized, a bit more structured, that might be possible. But time is always the most precious commodity for me.
It is, yeah. It's a fickle thing.
So what about you? When we talk about writing, presume we're talking about your fiction writing as well.
Yeah, so that is I'm still really glad I made that shift this year to just start trying to write in the morning. Because like I've said before on the show, I had a lot of guilt because I was not dedicating enough time to it. Like I felt a bit of an imposter when it came to fiction writing. But now I've actually just So for us, that's 2 weeks ago. We didn't record in the meantime. So I finished the sixth draft. And yesterday, I was like, I kind of felt guilty because it was a lovely day. And I was like, I needed a break, right? Because it happened a crazy week. And so I was kind of pushing myself to go to the beach. And then I thought, what I really want to do is just spend the whole Sunday writing my fiction. And it was so weird because I felt so guilty because I was like, it's a gorgeous day. Everybody in the rest of Europe is complaining that the weather is changing and I can still go to the beach. But all I want to do is write. And then I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's the whole point. Like if I want to write, but that I should just really grab that opportunity. And I think it's because I had I'm still figuring. So I figured out the plot finally in the last draft. So I had to change the first two chapters had to be completely revised.
Yeah.
And I mean, the first few chapters are always the hardest because they're the ones, you know, they need to sort of grab the reader. So that took me a long time and I was finally beyond that point. So yesterday I just went for it and I just wrote 5 hours straight. And when I say write, I mean I revised.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I think when I think about dedication, how many people would have, because I'm still trying to figure out a book that I started like decades ago. That's when I first had the idea. And I just really want to see if I can make it work despite not having plotted it in, you know, when I first wrote it. So it's so messy. So a lot of people would say, just throw it out and start over. And I don't want to do that.
I don't think there's a right or wrong way, though.
No, I don't think so.
That's either. The thing.
Yeah. But I do think it means I'm dedicated to this very particular project.
And if you finished, no, sorry, when you finish this particular project, will you still carry on writing?
Oh, yeah, we talked about that before. I actually think so because I do think I have a lot of other stories, maybe not necessarily in the same genre, because this is like fantasy and there's this very particular fantasy world that I felt like I needed to create. And I know all the authors who have, they just come up with new worlds that might have slight overlap or not, or based on the same kind of principles, but they're, you know, different worlds. I don't think I want to create that necessarily. But I am looking forward because I do have ideas for YA, but then contemporary. So young adult contemporary stories, so just set in this world.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I will still be writing. Absolutely. Yeah.
Just going back to you saying that you felt guilty for not being at the beach. I find that I'm always feeling guilty for not writing or for writing.
Well, that is the thing. It's like it was such a weird struggle because I'm like, it's been, especially because I have been struggling getting certain plot points correct in the last version of like my last draft. So I was like, I should be excited that all I want to do on this Sunday, right, is to write because I'm finally over that hump.
Yeah.
And then I was looking outside and I was like, I should be. And I was like, no, like you're a writer.
Yeah.
If you feel, and it's also because I've already done the hours that I've set apart for the, for the week. But then, you know, so what actually helped me is that I know I have another crazy week ahead and a lot of early morning appointments, like there's a few kittens that I need to catch for neutering, and that's early in the morning. I need to get my car serviced, so it's early in the morning. So it's all at the time that I usually write.
Okay, yes.
So I was kind of, how am I going to do this? And then I thought yesterday, I was like, if I just start writing now, I can be less hard on myself the upcoming week.
Yeah, so you're paying ahead.
Yeah, so I already wrote 5 hours yesterday. So that's the equivalent of 5 mornings for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now every morning I do get to write this week is extra.
Yeah. So I picked a quote didn't I? Yes. From Virginia Woolf. Many people who write want to do nothing else.
Yeah.
Is that you?
I think. So not just the fiction writing, I think. Because like with my nonfiction, I help other writers. And that is definitely also something that I love doing.
Is it something about creating as well, something?
Yeah, I would rather say I want to create all the time. And this is definitely like what I'm struggling right now with is that I have so much to do, like admin-wise.
Yeah.
With the podcast and I do a few things for this podcast as well. Not as much as you do, but and so they're all on my schedule, right? And there's like just stuff like taxes and keeping up Instagram and like all of that. So I have been looking into like personal assistants and stuff like that, and I'm trying with a few people right now.
Yeah.
Just to see if there's a connection and what I want them to do. Because I think the dream would be that I would have a team of people who I trust and who know what I want to achieve in the world and who understand like the message that I'm trying to send. And I could just trust that they take care of all that sort of, you know, peripheral stuff. So I can just wake up in the morning, grab a cup of tea, and just sit with my notebook and let whatever needs to come out, come out.
That sounds lovely.
Yeah, and I do struggle with the fact that I'm not even close to that, right?
Yeah.
So I would definitely agree that that for me, like if I can just create and not have to think about all the other stuff, I think that would be the dream, yeah.
Yeah.
How about you?
I do feel that compulsion to write, but I also have that brain that when I sit down to write goes, oh, but you haven't done this, or could you just do that first, or what about this, or yeah. So I can get in my own way as well, but I understand what she's saying. I understand that compulsion to write and create. I think it is as much about creating as it is writing.
Yeah. But this is like Virginia Woolf, right? So she was all about a room of one's own.
Yes. Right?
So I think what she's saying there is that, so for me, like I was always pushing fiction writing to the end of my day. And then of course, at one point you're just tired, or when you finally sit down, you look over at the kitchen counter and you realize I forgot to do the dishes, stuff like that. But now I do it first thing in the morning, like when I'm literally barely awake. There's nothing else I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have a job on a very tight deadline, like for a client. And then sometimes I'm like, okay, so this morning I'm going to wake up at the same time, but I'm just going to jump into this editing project or this translation project, whatever it is, just because I need the time. Because of the deadline. And then I try to catch up with the writing somewhere else, like somewhere later in the week, right?
Yeah.
But because I do it first thing in the morning, I don't really worry about anything else that needs to be done yet.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So what I wanted to talk about was this idea of the shit sandwich.
Yeah.
That, and I came across that in Elizabeth Gilbert's Big Magic, but it's actually an idea by Mark Manson. He wrote the Art of Not Giving a Fuck, I think it's called.
Yes,
I haven't read it, but my partner is reading it.
I haven't read it. Yeah.
Yeah. So she says what Manson means, or Mark Manson, so she read this in an essay. So this was before, because Big Magic came out before his book, right? So she read it on a blog. So she says, she quotes, what Manson means is that every single pursuit, no matter how wonderful and exciting and glamorous it may initially seem, comes with its own brand of shit sandwich, its own lousy side effects. As Manson writes with profound wisdom, everything sucks some of the time. You just have to decide what sort of suckage you're willing to deal with. So the question is not so much, what are you passionate about? The question is, what are you passionate enough about that you can endure the most disagreeable aspects of the work? And then in her introduction to this, she says something and that really struck me. She says, the fun part, the part where it doesn't feel like work at all, is when you're actually creating something wonderful and everything's going great and everyone loves it and you're flying high. But such instances are rare. You don't just get to leap from bright moment to bright moment. How you manage yourself between those bright moments when things aren't going so great is a measure of how devoted you are to your vocation and how equipped you are for the weird demands of creative living. So she's, when she talks about vocation, so that for me is dedication, right? So that really made me think, and that's why I like this idea of the shit sandwich so much. You know, when everything's going shit, like, do you still want to do this?
Yeah, when your book's not selling and using time that you could use for other things to keeping on writing.
Yeah, and she actually talks about a friend of her who also wanted to be, he was also an aspiring writer. Yeah, so she says about him is that he was very much focused on like external success.
Yeah.
And that's what made him give up, right? And she is, and Elizabeth Gilbert is very much like, but that's never the agreement I made with writing. I just asked writing, can I write all the time, right? Is this is my dedication. I dedicate myself to always writing for the rest of my life. And she didn't put any like sort of results onto that. So she compared herself to a friend because her friend is more like, I want to write because that this is where I want to be. And if I don't get to be there, this, I'm going to be disappointed.
I've had a friend like that, or have a friend like that, but I don't speak to him as much now that he's not writing because he wasn't as successful as he wanted to be.
Yeah. Yeah, so she says, Elizabeth Gilbert says here, my friend back in the day claimed that he wanted to be a writer with all his heart, but it turns out he didn't want to eat the shit sandwich that comes along with that pursuit.
Yeah.
He loved writing, sure, but he didn't love it enough to endure the ignominy of not getting the results he wanted when he wanted them. He didn't want to work so hard at anything unless he was guaranteed some measure of worldly success on his own terms.
Let's be honest, there are a lot of other pursuits that you could put the same energy into and get more guaranteed results.
Yes, and I think it's actually funny because especially in the indie business, right, and I use the word business on purpose here, is that I had to leave some of these groups because the focus is very much on you can become a successful author these days, like especially if you do it yourself, if you know how to do it, if you publish enough books, etc., etc. So there are people coming into the writing game because they think, oh, this would be a great way to become like financially independent, to get rid of my lousy day job. But they're not necessarily people who've always wanted to be writers, for example.
No, and they they do just want to make the money, don't they? It's not that they've got a story that they need to tell. It's that they want to use a model in order to make money.
Yes. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with writing to market per se, but I'm sure I told this story before on the show. So when I got this comment, when I saw this comment in one of those groups and somebody is like, okay, so my wife tells me like romance writing is like a billion dollar industry. Sorry, I was thinking billionaire romances, a billion dollar industry, right? Well, those romances do really well. So I hate the genre, but I need to write it.
Yeah.
So what do I need to know? And I'm like, oh, but that is because I'm like. Like you need to write, like if you like reading billionaire romance stories and you're good at writing them, like that is great for you because they are selling. But if that is not what you want to be, if that is not a genre that you're interested in, it's urban fantasy is really hot right now.
Yeah.
Right. And, only and I,
only in the indie world, though. I love urban fantasy myself. But
yeah, but the point is, just because it's hip and trendy and it sells well, but if you don't read it, like if you're a detective writer and that is where you get your thrill from reading those kind of novels yourself.
Yeah.
And why? Yeah, why pursue this other thing?
Well, you'd get the feeling that it wouldn't be successful, don't you? Just from as a reader, you can generally spot when people's heart and soul isn't into it.
Yeah. Like I do have some, I do read some novels, or have read some novels, by people I know as well. And some of them are just really quick, like you can just see how fast the writing has been.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, because some books with like, especially urban fantasy, that can have a really fast pace. Right.
Yeah.
But that's not what I'm talking about. Talking about the writing being messy, too many details being like consistently wrong.
The simplicity.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of the plot and there's no, surprises. There's no,
But you can see them hitting certain tropes.
Yeah.
And I think that is a shame. But then again, I said something about this before you hit record. Then again, me complaining about that is also kind of a privilege thing, because for some people, whether their books sell, like, you know, it can be a matter of keeping your roof over your head.
Yes. So
I wouldn't say that these people are not as dedicated or even more dedicated to their writing, but they are dedicated maybe differently.
But you're not going to get the if you're not getting the enjoyment out of your job, it's like any job, isn't it? It becomes a weight around you rather than, you know, something that you sit down and enjoy. And I enjoy even struggling through, like you were saying, the difficult plot points or where you've had to rewrite something and it just feels like, oh, that's good, it's just going to take me forever. There's still an enjoyment in figuring it out.
And then when it all comes together.
That's wonderful.
So we have people who write the things that they don't actually like writing. But what I'm also talking about is the people who are loving their genre, but that you can feel the sort of the pressure to write fast when you read their books.
Yes. Yeah.
Like I can see that you enjoy what you're writing. But it's just sloppy and it's superficial and I'm just and that as a reader that makes me feel a bit like cheated.
Yeah. But if they sell, other people are clearly enjoying.
Yeah. But this is something that I think. I'm not the average reader anyway.
Mm.
But when we come back to dedication, I would say that I'm also very much dedicated to. So I am struggling like with what is success, right? And what is like, you know, what is the financial return I want on my writing? But I'm trying right now, I'm trying to make the switch back to what is really important to me and for my nonfiction, that is that it helps people. So it shouldn't be about how many books I'm selling. It should be about who I'm helping.
Yeah.
And for my fiction, that is, and that is something that I keep coming back to, like my goal at the end of my life, like I want to look back on books that I'm proud of.
Yeah.
So I'm very dedicated to producing a book that's well written and complex and all that, those kind of things. So I'm committed or dedicated to the craft more than to my own success, maybe.
Yeah.
To my own detriment, perhaps, but.
I was trying to think about things that might help you become more dedicated or reach that point that maybe you see yourself at and you're not at yet. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking that I always feel really motivated, you know, going to events or participating in even like online training that I've done. I did like an editing. It was just a really cheap, like a couple of hours.
Mm-hmm.
And there wasn't, that was the, I don't think I learned anything because I've been doing it a little while, but you know, just that connecting with people and talking about writing just helped.
But also,
yeah,
this is the funny thing for me, is like even the realizing that you're not learning anything, right?
Yeah,
that can also be motivating because it shows you what you already know.
Yes, yes.
So you can go like, oh, this was a waste of time, or you can feel like, or it can increase your confidence. But yeah, but that is like for me, dedication is also like I keep reading like craft books and
yes,
especially yeah, author mindset books. That's more my field. But yeah, and reading as well, like reading books, that's also for me about being dedicated as a writer.
I'm reading a really bad written book at the moment, and I was about to give up on it, and then I thought I'd continue because I thought it might help me to recognize what was bad about, you know, to identify what was really bad about it.
But this is the thing, right? I think you can learn as much from a well-written book as you can from a not so well-written book.
Yes, yeah. So I am continuing with it just for that reason.
Yeah, but I do that too sometimes, like unless it's like really, really bad.
It is fairly bad.
I do try to note, like, what is it that's like rubbing me the wrong way? Like, what is it?
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yeah. So would you want to be, so you already said you would love to be more dedicated.
I don't know. I would.
But maybe not now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's about recognizing that I am in it for the long term and not.
Yeah.
I'd just like to achieve more in a year than I have done. That's the thing. But realistically, I'm probably doing what I can do.
Yeah.
With a few tweaks here and there.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I see that. Yeah.
And you seem to have found a balance.
I wouldn't call it balance, but because I'm still struggling, like, especially now I've got some other, like, especially now with the podcast on top of that, the other podcast. I'm very much like, what do I need to focus on? So I kind of, especially for my non-fiction, I haven't felt dedicated to my tarot books the past few months, because I just didn't know, because I am working, my main priority right now is finishing the third volume of 52 Weeks of Writing.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's just like there's only so much a brain can take. And that is different for everybody, right? Some brains can take more than other. So I really had to. So I didn't publish the last book yet of a tarot book series that I'm doing, because I was like, I need to just pause this, and I'll return to it the new year. But if I want to dedicate myself to this podcast and to getting 50 weeks of writing out in time, I have to say no to this for a moment. And that is hard because I really love it. But I kind of love my sanity more. It's kind of crucial to doing the other things that I feel some kind of sane. So I am struggling with, because I'm doing so many different things. I am struggling because I feel like one part of my, like my brand or whatever you want to call it, is not getting the attention that I want to give it right now. But
it's recognizing that, though, isn't it?
Yeah, and I do feel like it's about prioritizing. It's about recognizing and then prioritizing and simply saying, I cannot do this right now. But I do know that 2020... So, for example, I already told myself I will be publishing many things in 2022. I will be focusing on the tarot series. but I don't think I'm publishing anything else. Because I need, in terms of what I'm creating, I need a little bit of a break. So that's something that I, in order to dedicate myself or rededicate myself to that, right now I need to focus on this aspect. But if I want to go back to the other one, once I'm done with 52 Weeks of Writing 3, I'm just going to step back from that sort of line and then just focus on the other things for a while, because that's what I feel I need to be doing.
Yeah.
If I want to give it the attention it deserves. Yeah.
Which means that you have to have the space to think about these things, don't you?
For me, that's very much true. Yeah. Mm. Like the, and that is, and it's fine, because the challenge is that I love all the things I'm doing. The same with you and your job, right? You do love it, but it means you'd consistently have to reflect on, okay, where can I tweak it? And where can I where can I improve things? And sometimes for me, improving things means I cannot work on this part right now.
Never bored, though.
I am never. I don't understand how people are bored.
No, same here.
Yeah, I know people do get bored, and I'm like, that's, I don't know. Yeah. But I do, I wouldn't mind. Maybe that's something I need to dedicate myself to, for my brain to relax a little bit once in a while.
Yes, working on relaxation.
Maybe I should dedicate myself to that in 2022, aside the tarot books.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Right. Okay, you want to do the questions?
Yes. You doing yours first?
Sure. So this is related to the Elizabeth Gilbert, Mark Manson, and the shit sandwich. So the question would be for you, what are the most disagreeable aspects of being a writer? So the most disagreeable. Now, be honest. Are you passionate enough about writing to endure these in the long term?
And the other question would be, imagine your dedication as a gauge. Now, if you're honest with yourself, how do you score?
I think my gauge probably exploded a while ago. That's why I need to take a break from certain things.
I think my gauge is around midway. It's hovering around midway.
You think?
Yes, I think talking today, I think I need to set aside the time, you know, as in a set time, like you have done. I do the same for other things. I do the same for my exercise. I just somehow need to incorporate writing in there.
Okay, so next time, according to my notes, we are going to talk about what are the things you can give up.
Yeah. So yeah.
If your gauge is still hovering around midway, I'll find a way to kick you in the ass a little bit next time.
Okay. Fair enough.
Gently.
Fair enough. I think we've finished on time, which is wonderful.
Yes.
I'll see you next time.
Awesome. Bye.
Thank you for listening. You can find us on Facebook or Twitter, or visit our website at divingintowriting.com. We'd love to hear from you, and if you'd like to leave us a review, we'd be ever so grateful. Bye for now.